Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to On Health and Healing. I am your host, Angela Levesque. I'm very excited. I feel very blessed and honored tonight to have best-selling author Don Miguel Ruiz talking about the messages of the Mayan elders and the welcoming of the new world. This show has been pre-recorded, so we will not be taking live calls today. Before we get into that, I just want to mention that next week I will have James Evans Bomar III talking about how to transcend our limits and pierce the veil of our own personal realities. I thought these were two great shows to have back-to-back as we draw another year to a close. That show will also be pre-recorded. I just want to mention one thing really quickly. I am going to be teaching live online classes in mind body weight loss starting Monday, January 7th. And this class is going to be very comprehensive. It not only includes basic and diet and all of the different components of exercise, we're also going to be talking about stress reduction. You're going to have weekly homework to help you move through it. There's going to be podcasts for you to listen to, guided visualizations to help you restructure some of the thought patterning. So it's going to be a class like you've never seen before in terms of weight loss. So that's something that I'm going to be offering in the new year, 6-week class starting Monday, January 7th. So I hope you can join me. If you would like to email me about that, I will be having information up on my website. So you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com, or you can go to hestiahealth.com and check out the information on my website, and you'll be able to register there. Now, I want to keep my monologue short today to give us more time to speak with Don Miguel Ruiz. But before we get into that, I just want to share what I hope December 21st, 2012 will bring. As I write this, I can feel that there is, sometimes we feel like every human that this time is the time, the moment of change, and I suppose it is for everyone. I think that's a true statement for everyone, but there's so much unrest going on in the world, especially in the Middle East right now. Here in the United States where I am, I feel that it's never been more divided. Everywhere you look, everything you read, I look at a lot of forums on the internet, and everything is so red versus blue, left versus right, and there's just so much divisiveness going on right now. And then, of course, we still have our financial system, which is, very tenuous right now, and environmentally, there's a lot of things going on with our earth. We're seeing crazier storms. We just had Hurricane Sandy. And as somebody who has always felt very close to nature and to the earth, I feel a sense of overwhelmingness and a sense of urgency that, we need to feel that connectedness. And then the other thing that really sort of I think it's the most important, it is that our technology is moving so, so quickly, and I think it's far surpassed our spiritual growth. But it's interesting, even with all of this, I still feel there's tremendous hope. Through this show, through social media, through conversations that I have with people, I think that they, in their hearts, are ready for something new. They're ready for growth. They're ready for this shift. And to put it into, the words of Don Miguel Ruiz, we're ready to dream a new dream for ourselves, one of more freedom and of truth. And, for myself personally, as I move into this new year, not as it is just the end of a new age or the beginning of a new era, but I want to strive for more congruence between my heart and my actions. Somebody has always grown up as a people pleaser. I think I can be more aware that I can still honor other people while honoring myself. And so that's something that I really want to strive to work on, being able to calm my mind and opening my heart, spending more time in solitude and contemplation. And my dream for humanity is that we wake up to our actions. Whether we realize it or not, we make choices every day. And I think we're doing it so unconsciously, and I'd like us to make more heart-led decisions, more decisions made out of love instead of out of fear, and I believe that starts in each and all of our hearts and moves outward to our families, to our communities, and throughout the planet. So These are just some of my wishes as we not only, you know, move into 2013, but as we talk about this shift that has been long coming for many of us. So I hope tonight with my guest we'll be able to talk about the symbolism and the ceremony of the end of the Mayan calendar, but also talk about what we can do as we move into 2013. So with that, I'd like to introduce my guest. Don Miguel Ruiz is an international best-selling author of the powerful series of books, including The Four Agreements, which stayed on the New York Times bestseller list for 7 years. He has dedicated his life to sharing the wisdom of the ancient Toltec through his books, lectures, and journeys to sacred places around the world. His other books include The Mastery of Love, The Voice of Knowledge, Prayers and the Fifth Agreement, a collection with his son, Don Jose Ruiz, with his two sons, Don Jose and Don Miguel Jr., and his partner, Eva Ruiz Larson. Miguel and the Ruiz family bring together the Toltec teachings to people globally. Welcome, welcome, welcome. With that, I'm very honored to welcome Don Miguel Ruiz to the program.
It's a great pleasure to be with all of you.
It's very so great. I've read many, many of your books, and I've been working with those teachings for many years. So for that, I am very grateful to be able to share this conversation with you. So I spoke briefly in my monologue about, you know, this much prophesized time, this December 21st, 2012, and I want to start there. Do you think that it is something to be feared, or is it the end of the world? What do you think is happening, and what's the significance of that date?
Well, it's just a day like any other day. It's, you know, we humans, we have the tendency to measure time. That's why we create calendars. And there's different calendars who rules in this planet Earth. Then the Mayan calendar is one of those calendars, and they will end on December 21st. But it's like at the end of every year we celebrate, we let go the past, and we project what we want to do in the future. But, you know, there's so many people who create a lot of prophecies, and like in the Y2K, for example, everybody was expecting that the world will end, that the computers will fail, and that the world will not be like used to be before, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the day arrived and nothing happened. Well, it will be exactly the same thing with December 21st, the end of the Mayan calendar, because it's just a calendar, and we use it in order to measure time. There's no catastrophes, there's nothing like that. And if something happens, it will be just a coincidence, you know. In this planet Earth, everything is happening all the time. There's war all the time, there's poverty, there's injustice, there's everything exists even long before we was born. Then really has nothing to do with the Mayan calendar, but yes, there's a lot of opinions about the Mayan calendar, a lot of projections, a lot of prophecies, etc. But I can assure everybody that nothing really will happen unless we want something to happen. And what I propose in wherever I go, because I'm traveling for so many countries right now, is that we have to give opinion to that December 21st. But it's because we want to, not because it's a prophecy. And the meaning that I propose is that should mean the end of the superstition, the end of fanaticism, and the return to the truth. Because I agree 100% with that great master that 2,000 years ago told to the disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, free from all those lies that we believe, free from all that superstition, and all that fanaticism who create just all those conflicts that exist in society. Then,
so when you talk about, you know, the truth, and you begin the book, The Four Agreements, and you talk about the smoky mirror and being able to get through that. How do we as individuals seek out the truth?
Well, the truth is something that we humans are searching from the beginning of our time. We also want to believe in the truth. And, you know, the truth is always there. We are created in order to perceive the truth, but the thing is that we distort it and we create our own personal truth. And we use our personal truth in order to create a masterpiece of art, which is the story of our own life. And that's the reason why every single human believes that they're the truth and everybody else is wrong. But it doesn't mean that the truth doesn't exist. Of course it exists. The truth exists long before the creation of humanity and will exist after the extinction of humanity, that the truth doesn't need that we humans believe or not in the truth. The truth just exists. On the other hand, all the lies only exist because we believe in those lies, because we give our personal power to all those lies and we act in our lives according to all those lies. That's why something that is extremely simple as life, we complicate it and we create all those dramas. We create, we make all those decisions that will affect our life because everything is really action and reaction. Then when we have that awareness and we know that we are the one who create our own story, we can take the responsibility of our own creations, the responsibility of every decision that we make, and we're willing to pay the consequence with justice, because justice is to pay one time for every mistake. And that's the way we do it, that we pay 1,000 times for the same mistake and we make other people pay 1,000 times for the same mistake. This is not justice. That if we really want justice, we have to find it first in ourselves, and we just quit ourselves. Then we can claim the justice outside. But, you know, life is so wonderful.
Hmm. I appreciate what you're saying, and it makes so, and maybe this isn't what I should be doing, it makes so much sense intellectually, and I think, okay, you know, seeking out the truth. But then, as you mentioned, and you look around and you do, you see so many lies, you see so many decisions made out of fear. And I wonder, like, if there's practical things that each one of us can do, is that through meditation? Is it through, you know, solitude? Is it through, you know, going on vision quests or what have you? How does each person, you know, try and find more of that truth in their life?
Well, the first step and the most important one is the awareness, to be aware. You know, I used to be a surgeon, and I noticed that most of the people who come for help, the problem was not in the physical body, but was in their mind. It was a psychological problem, and that's the reason why I decided to stop being a surgeon in order to investigate more and more about how the mind works. And that's the reason that I went go back to my family, following their legacy, and become a shaman, yes, to understand how the mind works. And I was like around 10 to 12 years into shamanism. And the result of that was all the books that I published, because all those books are really psychology books that make life, we can see life extremely simple, like the four agreements. We all know that. But we don't. I don't complicate it like we did 100 years ago, and make it so difficult, because life is extremely simple. And like I say, if the whole thing is really to look for the truth and to witness the truth, to be the truth. And many people ask me, well, okay, Miguel, but then what the truth is? What is the truth? And what I can tell them is that for sure we can see two things that are true without a doubt. We don't even need to prove that exists. One is life, because we all are alive. We don't need to prove that life exists. We are alive. And the other is death, because sooner or later we all will die. Then life exists and death exists. And the entire creation is nothing but a mixing between life and death. And that reminds me the teachings of physics when I was in high school. The teacher used to say, matter only can be moved if a force moves matter. And if matter is in movement, only can be stopped if a force stops matter. But matter by itself cannot move. Then we have it right there. That force is life, and that matter is dead. And life is always moving matter. If you see, everything is an eternal movement. Everything is changing all the time. Even in your own body, the atoms are always moving. Molecules are always moving. We can see the miracle of life moving matter all the time. Life and death in the most beautiful dancing. Then when we understand that, perhaps we can understand that there's only one being and is alive. And that being is made by universes, billions and billions of universes. And every universe is an individual, but it's made also by many other universes. Like our physical body is a whole universe, but every single cell of our body is a universe. Our physical body is a universe, and humanity is a whole universe. It's the giant that I talk about this December 21st, the awakening, the giant is awakening the humanity. To have that awareness, yes?
That is the next thing I want to get into. We're actually up on a break. When we get back, I want to talk about your ceremony, Awakening the Giant, and some of the ceremony and the symbolism surrounding that. So, again, we are talking with Don Miguel Ruiz, and we'll be right back.
This is your moment to make a difference in your health, your life, and the planet. Visit HestiaHealth.com, where communication, education, and radio thrive. It's a company devoted to spreading ideas that enlighten and expand human consciousness, individuality, and globally. Take an online class or get the one-on-one attention you need to manifest your desires. Hestia Health is about creating change, health, and happiness from the inside out. HestiaHealth.com, creating calm minds and open hearts.
All right, you're listening to On Health and Healing with Angela Levesque. My guest tonight is best-selling author Don Miguel Ruiz, and we are talking about welcoming in the new world and some of the messages of the Mayan elders. As we speak, as people will be listening to this, you will actually be down in southern Mexico participating in a ceremony, and I want you to tell me a little bit about the history of the ceremony and this idea of when you talk about awakening the giant, what exactly you're speaking about.
Well, this is something that I hear my grandfather when I was a child. He used to tell us a lot of stories with a lot of symbolism. And what he used to say is that humanity is really only one living being, but it's made by millions of humans, men and women. And every single human create his own personal world, which is not real, but is virtual, and everybody really believes that what they know is the truth, and that's the reason why there's so many conflict in humanity, and because they don't understand that it's not real or what they're perceiving, and they believe in all the lies that exist long before they was born. And anyway, he say that the day will come when that giant awake, and with the giant awake, everything in this beautiful planet Earth will change. You know, it's a great metaphor. It's very lovely. And I really believe that we all are only one living being. And that living being is really having big nightmares for all the time. You know, all those war, you know, all that injustice, all the violence. And I can see how humanity is evolving, have times of stability and times of crisis. And I see that every time of crisis is the opportunity to make the changes to create another time of stability. But it will be changing, and it's really changing all around. And right now, we are in a big moment of crisis. And the reason right now is because science and technology, they are growing so fast. It's changing very, very fast. But psychology is way behind. We still believe in Freud and all what they wrote 100 years ago. That is extremely complicated when psychology is really very simple. And it really is based about awareness, to have the awareness. First, that we create our own story, and that as a creator, we can change that story. Because every single human is really an artist. We all are artists. And by the way, the word Toltec means artist. Then when I talk about the Toltecs, I'm not really referring to the people who lived 2,500 years ago but the people who are living right now in all around the world, we always creating. We start creating since we wake up. Even when the brain is sleeping, we create all those beautiful dreams. Then we cannot stop creating because we are just like the one who created us. It's an eternal creation, and everything is changing all the time. You know, our mind is changing all the time. The way we see our own world is shifting. Like I can see the way I used to see the world when I was 10 years old is completely different than when I was 13 or 14 or when I was in my 20s or in the 30s. Even right now, it's completely different. And the way I see the world today is different than the way I see it yesterday. Then everything is really changing all the time. And if we have that awareness, we don't need to resist the change, but to go with the change and take advantage of all those changes. Then what I see is that humanity in this time of crisis, perhaps it's the time to start waking up. And like I said before, December 21st is just a day like any other one, unless we want to make an agreement and make something beautiful about that day. And what I propose in wherever I go is that it should mean the end of the superstition, the end of fanaticism, and the return to the truth. Because what I see is that the conflict that exists in the human mind, that for a long time we believed that it was between good and bad. Good and bad is just the result of the real conflict. Because the real conflict is between the truth and lies. When we believe in truth, we are good. When we believe in lies, we are bad in so many different degrees, depending how deep and that distorted is the lie that we believe. And we can see that with all those lies, we create all those superstitions, and we become fanatic of all those superstitions. And becoming fanatic, we lose our humanity. We are willing to kill or die because we believe in our own, in all those superstitions that we have. And we defend it with our own life, or we can really kill because of that. We become so fanatic. Then it's time to end that. And the only way is by having the awareness. Then wherever I go, I ask for help to everybody. And I say, please help me to change the world. But I'm not talking about the humanity, but the world that we create, our own creation, the one that we are fully responsible for every decision that we made. And the benefit to change our world mainly is for ourselves, but also for the people who live with us, and the ones that we claim that we love them so much, like our beloved, our children, our brothers, or sisters, or friends. You know, if we change our own world, just imagine that everybody does exactly the same thing. Now we will understand why the awakening of the giant begins. You know, everything that we create first exists in our imagination, and with the action we make it real. We make it true. And this is how we create all the civilizations that exist in this planet Earth. Well, in my imagination, this giant is already awake. We recognize each other as brothers and sisters, as our own. We can see ourselves as the entire humanity. And not just that, we see ourselves as the whole planet Earth.
You talk a lot about, I've heard you speak before about this idea that we are actually, humans are actually part of the organ of the planet Earth. And I would just, you even go and say that we are part of the metabolism even of the Earth. And I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more about that as well.
Well, yes, the whole humanity is only one living being, but at the same time, we are an organ of this beautiful planet Earth. Just like the atmosphere is another organ, like the forest is another organ, the ocean is another organ, and in fact, every single species in this planet Earth is an organ, and we all work together to have a perfect equilibrium, just like your liver and your lungs and your brain and every part of your body works together to keep the equilibrium in your physical body. Well, we do exactly the same thing to keep the equilibrium of the planet Earth. And in medicine, we call it the metabolism. because we are the earth. We are, yes, we are humanity, but we are the earth as we are the single individuals, as we are every single cell that we have in our body. And the earth is also part of a bigger living being, which is the solar system. And the solar system is part of the galaxy. And this, and in fact, it's only one being and is alive. And this is beautiful to understand.
I mean, through meditation, you know, that idea that we are all connected, but I absolutely agree with what you're saying, that we are also just as connected to our earth. So what happens when we do things that are, you know, polluting and create toxicity? And so in a sense, if we do that to the earth, are we doing that to ourselves as well? Are we mirroring that action?
Well, definitely. Every action has a reaction. You know, whatever hurt we do to the planet Earth, the consequence is that we will pay for that. It's perfect justice, an action and reaction. And this without any judgment, without any opinion, is just whatever it is. Whatever we do against the Earth will compensate it in another way. If we can see the totality of the planet Earth, the equilibrium is just like zero. Zero earnings, zero losing is always shifting. It's like an equation. Whatever you have in one side of the equation is exactly the same like the other side of the equation. If you take something from one side, you have to put it in the other side to keep the equilibrium. And this is exactly how the planet Earth works. If you take Earth from some place, you have to put it in another way, but always we'll have the same equilibrium in one way or another way. I hope that I can that is understandable.
No, that makes so much sense. I just keep coming back to this idea that, again, I appreciate this, and this is something that I get very much intellectually, that we're the connection to the earth and the connection to each other, and that we mirror, that we see about ourselves through other people. And yet, when I look around the earth, I see that people are still so disconnected and still don't appreciate that what we do to our, you know, to another, we do to ourselves, essentially. What we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. And I just wonder, you know, what is it going to take for us to be more awakened, to be more aware, to live, to see the truth? And that for me is, I still get very frustrated when I think about that.
Well, you know, this is something completely logical. If we act in the way we act, it's because we have no awareness. And we have no awareness because this is what we learned when we were born. When we were born, society already exists. With all those rules, we learn to be like society. We mean that society teaches so many lives that we believe. We invest our faith in all those lives, and we practice it for a long time, that becomes automatic. We acting and reacting automatically without any awareness. Then the key is exactly to recover that awareness. If we recover the awareness, and not just intellectually, but if we start acting it, we will find out that it's so easy to feel that we are the whole humanity, and we'll feel also so easy to see that we are the earth. Because when you have that awareness and you hurt, let's say, like a plant, you have the reaction. You know that you are doing, and for sure you will recover something that I call respect, because respect is extremely important, because without respect there is no love, really. The love is really distorted because we don't have that respect, and respect should start always with ourselves. We cannot give what we don't have. That if we don't respect ourselves, how can we respect anybody else? How can we respect humanity when we don't respect ourselves? How can we respect nature when we don't respect ourselves? And we don't even have the awareness that we don't have that respect. You know, this is the reason that I wrote all those books. We can see that in Master of Law, how wonderful it is to live with respect, because actually have a reaction. If you are happy, your couple will be happy, your family will be happy. And, you know, love is really what the best way to express of what we really are. Many people ask me what love is, and well, I think the best answer will be that love is an equilibrium between gratitude and generosity. In respect, is in the middle, of course.
Well, we are up on our next break. We will be right back, and when we get back, I'd like to talk about a little bit more about your upbringing and with your grandfather and mother, and passing on the traditions, and how we can do a little bit more of that when we get back.
This exciting moment in history, things are shifting and everything seems to be speeding up. How do you find your center in such crazy times? Visit HestiaHealth.com, a company dedicated to finding stillness. Whether it's taking an online class, life coaching, or having a guide meditation created just for you, HestiaHealth.com is helping you find your truth, health, and happiness from the inside out. Find your inner stillness. HestiaHealth.com, creating calm minds and open hearts.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to On Health and Healing with Angela Levesque. Again, my guest tonight is best-selling author of The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz, and we are talking about welcoming in the new world. And I want to talk, you speak a lot in your books about this idea of domestication, this socialization that we do and that we pass down from, you know, generation to generation. And you had a very different upbringing, and different things were passed down and instilled on you. And I just want to know, how important is it for you to continue that legacy with your children and of the passing down of the knowledge that you have learned?
Well, the whole thing is really about authenticity. To be what you really are and stop pretending what you are not. What I say, wherever I go, that it's much more easy to be yourself than to spend all your energy pretending to be what you are not. Because whatever you do, you always will be yourself. And whatever you do, you never will be somebody else. You always will be you. And in that way, we can see the perfection of everything that exists, including humanity. You know, every single human is unique. There's no one like you, and never will be anyone like you. And in that uniqueness, you are perfect just the way you are. And this is really the legacy that I'm sharing with my children and with everybody who want to listen what I'm doing. Because I am what I am. I'm not pretending to be what I'm not. You know, if I can say that I don't own anybody and nobody owns me. I am unique, and I love that authenticity. It's just wonderful to be myself. I really have a great time being me. I love to be myself, and I just love everything that I perceive, and everything that I do is really based in love. And all those journeys that I do, all those teachings, is because this is what I love to do. This is my passion. And we can say that, okay, desire is something completely normal in humanity. And there's, of course, there's many beliefs and many opinions condemning desire, et cetera, but it's completely normal. We all have desire. The thing is, what we're going to do with the desire. When the desire becomes obsession, then becomes extremely destructive, and we destroy our own creation. We create our own image. We destroy it. We destroy what we believe about ourselves. We destroy our family. We destroy our business. Whatever we do, when we go into obsession, we really destroyed everything. But on the other side, on the other hand, if desire becomes passion, then you love what you do. It's very creative, and that passion, it becomes inspiration. And inspiration, it really takes you to what you really are without words. Because you really don't need to explain what you are. You just exist, just like the truth just exists. You just exist. And of course, we use knowledge in order to justify our existence, the same way that we use knowledge to create a story of our life, and we really believe that it's true. But when we have that awareness, we find out that everything is perfect just the way it is. And we learn, relearn to love and respect everything. And of course, it has to begin with us. Because if we don't love ourselves, how can we pretend to love anything else? I think it's a very simple.
I have a 4-year-old son, and when I look at him and I watch him play, and one thing that I so much appreciate about him is his ability to just live in the moment. There's no worrying about what we're having for dinner later, or you know, what's going to happen tomorrow at preschool. And I wonder, his world, when I watch him, it's very magical, and he moves with so much lightness and ease. And then we talk about this domestication, and how do we not instill that? Or is there any way to avoid that domestication, the creating this social dream of the rule of law and fear and reward and punishment that you speak about? What are some of the ways that, because if they are the next generation, and if we do want to see a bigger move towards truth and awareness, how do we do that with our children?
Well, there's no way for us to avoid the domestication. We have to domesticate our children. If we don't domesticate our children, somebody else will do it. And we don't want that anybody domesticate our children but ourselves. And the best way to do it is by being authentic, because the children, we learn from us more than what we say, what we do. Like if we have a couple, we are happy, we are enjoying all the time, our children always will be happy and will enjoy everything all the time, and they will learn from what we do more for what we say. And of course, they will go to school. In a school, they will learn from other children, from teachers, from everything else. But we are preparing them to face the rest of society, because society, like I said before, exists before we was born. And they already have all those rules, all those beliefs. They have religion. They have a philosophy. They say all the moral things, etc., etc. And they prepare us to be part of that society. The only thing that we can do is to help them to have the awareness, to be aware that they are individuals also, and they are also part of society. And if they need to change something, well, they need to start with themselves, you know. And that's the reason why we publish all those 5 agreements. And the 5th agreement is be skeptical but learn to listen. And this is something that we can learn since when we are children. It's something that I learned when I was a child. You know, I learned a lot from my parents because they were always so happy. Then all the children, all of us, we were also happy. And that's the way we treat each other. And something that I always see is the skepticism of my father and my mother, but they also listen. And I see the difference that they do when they listen and they help other people. You know, it's very amazing to grow up in a family where they, since a very young age, they assure you that you can make your dreams come true, that only thing that you need is a very strong will and have discipline. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, you will accomplish whatever you want to do. And you never fail. What is important, perhaps, is to know what is what we want.
I think that's a beautiful and powerful message, and I hope that all the parents out there listening to that really maybe listen to it a second time, because I think it's so important. For some of my listeners or people who aren't familiar with their books, they might say, oh, you know, it's easy for you to live authentically and to be happy, and you have all of these things and it's easy, but you have a very powerful story and had have some very serious health complications over the past couple of decades even. And I just want you to share with us how these moments helped you to overcome, you know, your fear of death and really truly gain more freedom in your life?
Well, the fear of death, that's, I faced it many, many years ago, maybe more than 35 years ago, something like that. It's not being afraid to die. But in February 28, 2002, I have a major heart attack, and I was 9 weeks in coma, and the doctors were ready to unplug me and let me go. And when they decide to unplug me, that's when I came back from coma and I opened my eyes. And the first thing that the doctors tell me is that I was sleeping only with the 16% of my heart capacity. And if I'm lucky, I will live maybe 1 year or maybe 2 years more. And what they told me is that I have to change my life completely, that there was no way that I could keep going around the world doing my lectures and workshops and everything that I used to do. And of course, I listened what they say, and my physical body was always in pain. Since the moment I wake up until tonight, it was always in pain, but nobody really noticed that I was in pain, because it is really nobody else's business. And for me, I really didn't suffer. My body was in pain, but I was enjoying every single moment of my life. And as soon as I could, I started teaching again. I started traveling again. And yes, the heart attack made me more slow. My mind a little unclear, according to what used to be before the heart attack. And I lived 8.5 years like that. Then I didn't die in 1 or 2 years. But when I see that I was not dying and my body was getting worse, it's when I decide to have a heart transplant. And I have a heart transplant in October 9, 2010. And as soon as I have a new heart, everything changed in my life once again. Because during all those 8.5 years, what I was searching is to leave everything to my children and to the people that I love, etc., because I didn't know if I will wake up the next day or not. Then before the heart attack, I used to live my life like this is the last day of my life, in planning like I want to live forever. But once I had the heart attack, it was for real. I didn't know if I will die at any moment. And I was not afraid of dying at all. You know, I remember when I had the heart attack, I have a very strong pain in the chest that woke me up, and I called 911. But I was really excited. I was so happy because finally I will have the greatest experience, which means leaving our physical body. Because, of course, I really know that I am not my physical body. I knew that I am the force who moves the physical body, which means I am life. And life, which is energy, cannot be destroyed, only can be transformed. But the physical body, of course, it will die, it will be disappeared. What we can say is that every creation has a beginning and has an end, but not what create the matter, not what create death, which is life, which is energy. Then I know what really means to be just life. I know what it means to live in a physical body, which is my home. To live in my house, which is also a home. To live in the planet Earth, which is also my home. But I am life like everybody else. And we are moving with the same energy, the same life. And life is exactly the same. Then how can I be ever afraid of dying? If there's any fear, is the fear in the physical body, and it's about pain. Because if I see pain coming, of course my body will react. But it not necessarily have to suffer. You know, it's about accepting the changes that happen every single moment. Because even if we want it or not, we are moving everything all the time. Everything is transforming. Everything is changing. And it's so wise just to accept it instead of resist it. Then I can see humanity is shifting, is changing. And we just take the advantage of the December 21st in order to try to give more awareness to everybody and to invite them to participate in their own awakening. Like when I say, when I go around, I ask for help, and I say, please help me to change the world that you create, your own world. And to change your world, you don't need to try to change everything around you. You need to change yourself, and just as magic, everything will change. Then if you don't like the way you live your life, you just change the main character of your story, which is what you believe you are. Of course, it's extremely simple, but we complicate it. And yes, it's easy to say it, but you know, I'm practicing. I'm being what I say. It's not a theory. I'm living it. And if I can do it, you can do it. And if you can do it, everyone can do it, because we are exactly the same. There was no one better than other or worse than other. I'm not better than a dog or a cat or any other living being. We are exactly the same. I don't believe in teachers and apprentices, priests, and etc. No, we are exactly the same. And we are here, all of us, to enjoy life. This is our mission, to come, explore, and enjoy life. How to do it is 6 billion different ways, one for every single person, because only you know what makes you happy and what makes you suffer. And the whole thing will be about a choice. Either you are happy or you suffer. It's just a choice.
All right. Well, that is a great place to stop. We will be right back after this break.
This is your moment to make a difference in your health, your life, and the planet. Visit HestiaHealth.com, where communication, education, and radio thrive. It's a company devoted to spreading ideas that enlighten and expand human consciousness, individuality, and globally. Take an online class or get the one-on-one attention you need to manifest your desires. Hestia Health is about creating change, health, and happiness from the inside out. HestiaHealth.com, creating calm minds and open hearts.
All right, you're listening to On Health and Healing with Angela Levesque, and we are in the last segment with bestselling author Don Miguel Ruiz, and we are talking about December 2012 and awakening and what we can do in each in our own lives to create that authenticity and the freedom. So do you feel, when we talk about the role of bringing the message of the Mayan elders to the world, do you feel that we have explored that?
Well, you know, this it's just stories. We talk about Mayans, we talk about Egyptians, we talk about Greeks, we talk about our beautiful nation. It's just stories. The stories that are based in reality, but it's just stories. And we have to be aware, even the story of our life is just a story. It's not real. Even if we can swear that really happened, well, it's based in reality, because things really happen, but not the way we believe it happened, because everything is changing stories. Then when we talk about the Mayan calendar, about the Mayan beliefs, we are really talking about stories. And those stories are made with symbols. And we use symbols in order to teach. And we create all that symbology as a search for the truth. And of course, as soon as we put it in words, it's no longer true, but we can get as close as possible to that truth. Then to talk about the Mayans, talk about the Aztecs, to talk about anybody else, we are really talking about mythology, about stories which we already know is not true. But if we understand the symbolism and we see that this is exactly what we are doing with our life, we will see that yes, it's the right time for us to make a choice. And that choice is to stop believing in all those lies, but understand that many of those lies, they is an effort for others to try to teach us what they believe is the truth. That's why the Stiff Agreement is extremely powerful. Be skeptical, but learn to listen. And this is how science keeps advancing, because many scientists, they bring all those theories. And the rest of the scientists there, hearing the stories, they don't believe it, but they take everything that works for them and they change their own theories and get closer and closer to the truth. Then even in science, to be skeptical but learn to listen is extremely important. You know, like these four agreements, is just the introduction of this way of life of the artist. And after years of practice, the conclusion is this fifth agreement, that when you really apply this fifth agreement, and you are completely skeptical because you know that the same way that you create your own story, everybody around you also create their own story, then you understand where they're coming from when you listen what they say. And once that you apply this fifth agreement, you recover completely the respect about everything. You accept the whole creation just the way it is, and you can see perfection in everything that you see. And that includes all the stories that we humans create all around the planet Earth during all those millenniums. Because it's not be Mayan, be Mexica, be Inca, be Japanese, or Chinese. We come exactly from the same place and we have the same truth. Everything changed when we put it in words because we speak a different language, but the meaning will be the same.
So what does December or what does 2013 bring for you and your family? Do you have any upcoming events, or where are you guys going in the next year?
Well, next year, once that we see this, this is for everyone, not just for me, for all of us. After this process to finding ourselves, once that you get all the love for yourself, all the respect for yourself, then it's time to go to the next step, which is the family. It's your beloved, it's your children, it's your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your friends. And take it not just from the family, but go for the step after the family, which is your business, which is whatever direction that in life that you use in order to keep growing and to keep sharing, because then it's now your community. It's your school, it's your business, it's just the place that where you work. It's your sports, so in any direction, your music, it go in every single direction, but it starts with ourselves. And the second place is our family. And we find out by the end of all that extension, we see that the whole humanity is just one big and wonderful family that still don't have the awareness, but it will. It's just time.
So if people want to hear more, find out more information about your message in general, finding your books, where should we direct them?
Well, they can come into my web, which is miguelruiz.com. They will find all the information right there. We have many events. You know, we just came back from Europe. We went to 11 different countries. Next week I will be in Ecuador and then in Mexico for the December 21st. And next year, we have a lot of activities with my children. My older son just published his first book, which is the Five Levels of Attachment. And my middle son is the one who wrote the fifth agreement with me. And we start working together more and more. Then the whole year will be about a family tour, that they can see the way we deal with each other, all the love that exists in between us and that we share with everyone, that they can see that, yes, it's possible. We can do it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come speak with us here. And I just wish you the best in the new year. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you to all of you, especially to you. Have a wonderful end of the year.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
And God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Again, next week, my show will be pre-recorded, and we'll be speaking to James Evans Bomar III about transcending our limits and piercing our own personal veils of reality. And then the following week, we'll be back in the new year with David Hamilton, all live shows again. And he is the co-author of an inspiring documentary called Choice Point. This is Angela Levesque wishing you good night and good health. See you in the new year.